Job chapter 1. We'll read the entire chapter. So let's, with reverence, pay attention to God's inspired, infallible, and inerrant word. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the east. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, who fears God and turns away from evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house. And it fell upon the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. That is the word of God, and may the Lord himself bless it to us. Tonight we want to reflect together in the time that we have on giving thanks to the Lord for hard providences. I chose that topic deliberately, and this will not be an exposition of a particular text. I'm going to look at various portions of Scripture, but we're going to have our time studying that theme, giving thanks to the Lord for hard providences. Let me just take a few moments to explain why that topic. I think when I think of giving thanks to the Lord or to anyone, we find it's natural to give thanks for good things, for the things that make our lives better, for food, for family, for friends, for jobs, for whatever other provisions God has given us. And in a sense, from a human standpoint and from a spiritual standpoint, that is cheap, because anyone can give thanks for good things. But it's only the people of God who can give thanks even for the quote-unquote bad things of life. The hard providences, the hard circumstances that we find ourselves in. And I thought that this is perhaps something that we should reflect on tonight. Yes, we're thinking about Thanksgiving tomorrow. And we have much to thank God for. Each one of us. I'm sure if we were to go around this room, you'd have, I hope, a long list of things for which you are thankful. But tonight I want us to step back and think about giving thanks for hard providences in our lives, for the difficult situations of our lives. Because God expects us to be thankful in those times, and especially in those times. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us to give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances, not just in the good ones, but also in the bad ones. And so that's what we'll be considering tonight. And let me just pray and ask the Lord to bless us. Father, we ask that in these few moments that we have together to consider this very important topic, that we would be helped by your Holy Spirit. Help me to think clearly, to speak clearly and accurately, and that you may help my brothers and sisters here also to hear this word and think about it and see how it applies to their own lives. And our desire, Lord, is that in everything we do, we would be thankful to you, for you have given us the most precious gift of all, your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we pray that you bless us in this time, for Christ's sake. Amen. We've just read the story of Job. Job was a righteous man, a man that honored God, he feared God, and the Lord had blessed him with so much wealth. He had blessed him with many children, and he was a man who was respected in his time. And yet we read in this story that in one day everything was gone. What is most striking to me is not so much the degree of loss, although that is very striking in itself, but how Job responded to that. And that response is recorded for us in verse 20 and 21. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." It's amazing. I don't know how I would have responded in that situation. I find it very remarkable that this man, so trusted, was so content, and he had embraced God's sovereign goodness in his life and gave such an outstanding response when tragedy hit home. Job not only knew a God who was sovereign, he also knew a God who was good. And those two things must always be held side by side. God's sovereignty and God's goodness. And here we see Job responding to this in this crisis because in the way he did, because I believe he knew the sovereign goodness of God. The Bible tells us that Job arose, he tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell on the ground and worshipped God. I mean, he humbled himself before God's in this culture. Tearing your robe and shaving your head was a sign of, is a very humiliating thing. And this is something that people used to do when they have sinned against God and they realize they deserve punishment, and they would usually in their fasts, they would do this to humble themselves before God and plead for mercy and forgiveness. And instead of cursing God, the Bible tells us that Job worshipped God. Let's look at the blessings that God had given to Job. In the first five verses, we read that in verse 2 in particular, there were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had many children, right? Children are a blessing from God. And there are many, many people who would give anything to have children. That in itself was a huge blessing. But there is more. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. And very many servants. I don't know how many of us have servants at home. None, right? So this was a very wealthy man, very high up. This man, the Bible tells us, was the greatest of all the people of the East. So what we have here is really the apex of blessings, the apex of success. You couldn't be more successful than this in this culture. Any man would want a position like Job had, to be the greatest in all of Vancouver, to be the greatest in all of Canada, to be the greatest in all of the world, in whatever field that you are involved in. That would be an honor and prestige. But in a moment, in a day, the Lord stripped him of all of that. And from a human standpoint, you could say, Job is no longer a blessed man. God is cursing him. He has done something wrong. And Job would be angry against God, would expect Job to be angry against the Lord. Why can you how can you take away all these things from me? What have I done wrong before you? And in a sense, we could say, humanly speaking, Job would be justified to say that, because the text here tells us that he was a holy man. He feared God. And there's nothing here to indicate that what had happened to him was a direct result of his sin. He had done nothing wrong against God. But in God's providence, he allowed this to happen, and Job worshipped God. And he says in verse 21, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Something very important we need to learn here. We don't deserve anything that we have. You don't deserve anything that you have, regardless of what you think or what you've been told. I don't deserve anything. In fact, the only thing I deserve from the hand of God is what? Punishment. Because I'm a sin. I was born in sin. I was conceived in sin. I was born in sin. I've inherited the sin of Adam, and I have also actually sinned against God. And if God would give to each one of us what we deserve, it would be His justice, His wrath. But God is so good that He has given us not only He's not only withheld from us what we deserve, but He's given us what we don't deserve. Life in Jesus' name. Family, children, houses, jobs, clothes on our backs, all these things. We have food at the table every day. And yet, at the very same moment as we're speaking now, there are people who don't have clothes, they are homeless, they don't have jobs, they don't have a family, they don't have children, they can't even put food on the table. Are we better than them? Of course not. And what distinguishes us as the people of God is that whether we have plenty or we have nothing, we will always bless the Lord. We'll give thanks to the Lord in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. So, as we today think about all the good things God has given to us, let's also look back and see the hard providences, the hard circumstances, the hard experiences that God has brought us through, and give thanks to Him for those. And you may be right now in a very difficult situation in your life. I know each one of us has issues, one issue or another. Some greater, some not so great. But whatever the case, each one of us daily, we are burdened with issues of life. Could be relationships, could be health issues, could be money issues, it could be uncertainty in the future regarding our life. And these things can easily weigh us down and cause us to wallow in self-pity and begin to wonder whether God really cares about us. And wonder whether there is really any hope for us. Tonight I want to challenge each one of you and encourage you to give thanks to the Lord, especially in those moments. Like I said, anyone can give thanks to God for good things. I mean, we see it everywhere. But only those who know their God can give thanks to Him for the bad things that happen. The people of the world are so quick to blame God when things go wrong in their lives. They wonder, why do bad things happen to good people? Because their understanding, their premise, their presupposition is that they are good and they deserve better. But we know better. That everything we have received has been bought by the blood of Christ. And that is the only way you and I can breathe. We wake up every morning. The Bible tells us that every morning we experience a fresh supply of mercies. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is the faithfulness of God. Why is it? Why should we give thanks to God in the hard times? Let me just offer a few reasons why we need to give thanks to God for these hard providences. The first and most important one is that God seeks to glorify Himself through the hard circumstances in our lives. As He works all things for good, God seeks to glorify Himself. Consider the life of the story of the children of Israel in Egypt. They were under a very difficult situation in slavery. And God heard the cries. God sent Moses to go and rescue them. But also the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, that He made things really bad for them. And God says He allowed that to happen so that He will be glorified. And when you find yourself in a fix, in a situation where you feel like there's no way out, remember that God wants to glorify Himself in your situation. Second thing you need to remember in those times is that God is good. God is good. There are so many texts in the Bible which speak of the goodness of God. And also when you study all His acts towards the children of men, you see the goodness of God through and through. We sang from Psalm 34. And verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." We cry out to God because we know He is good. And in those difficult times, we can still thank Him because we know that His goodness is unchangeable, unchanging. He doesn't change. He is always good. Psalm 136 repeats over and over again of how merciful God is. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercies endure forever. Not just for a time, but forever. So we give thanks to God for the hard providences, not only because He will glorify Himself in those circumstances, but also because He is good. And that's good enough. God is good, and whatever He does is good. Romans 8:28 tells us that God causes all things, not some things, all things, to work together for the good of those who love Him, those who have been called according to His purpose. And that is one thing that distinguishes us from the rest of the world. We can understand, I can understand, why the people of the world will be cursing God in the hard times. They don't know any better. But you and I know, and we have the promise of God given to us, that He is working all things for the good of His children, for the good of those who have been called by Him. We give thanks to God in the hard circumstances, also because the Lord chooses to use our circumstances to minister to others. That through the comfort that we receive in our situations, we may also be able to comfort others. I mean, when you read the life of the Apostle Paul, and so much the encouragement that comes out of his letters, his life, you can see this man knows suffering. He's been there. And when he says, "The slight and momentary affliction is working for us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all," he's not just being theoretical. He had suffered so much in his life. I think it was last week we looked at how much he suffered and how he pleaded with God, "Take this thorn away from me." And God said what? "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." You never know how God might use your own suffering to encourage another brother or another sister who is struggling with life situations. This week I was watching a documentary video of Corrie ten Boom. And when you, as you watch that, you see just how much suffering there was in that time. The Jews persecuted, and there were all these Christians who were trying to help the Jews, and the Ten Boom family was one of them. And they did everything they could, but they were discovered and they were taken to prison and tortured. All of them died except Corrie. By the miraculous intervention of God, she was released from prison. And you know what has happened with Corrie? She has traveled around the world. I think it's, I don't know, it's 48 countries, but it's a large number of countries, speaking of forgiveness, speaking of the goodness of God. And she has encouraged many, many Christians who have found themselves in very difficult situations. So God might be pleased to use you and your suffering to minister to others. And we need to be thankful for that. Another reason, perhaps the greatest of all, there is an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs all of our suffering. And that is how God will ultimately glorify Himself and show us His goodness. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17. I quoted that earlier, but let me just read that with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. Paul writes, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." The things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And there is an eternity full of joy waiting for us as the people of God. And so we can be encouraged to give thanks to the Lord in our circumstances, even the bad ones. William Cowper wrote this poem, which I think many of you already know. "God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessing on your head." Listen to this verse. "Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err, and scan His work in vain. God is His own interpreter, and He will make it plain." I like that. Especially that line which says, "Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face." So let's just finish by looking at how can we actually give thanks to God in these circumstances, in our circumstances. Well, I'm going to offer with you at least one way by which we can give thanks to the Lord. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. There are many ways that we can give thanks to the Lord, but I'm sure the Lord will speak to you about that, how you can be giving thanks to the Lord in your own circumstances. But here I want to just point you to this one way through which we can give thanks to the Lord for all things, for all circumstances, and for His goodness. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8, we see this song of thanks that David is singing. And verse 8 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing praises to Him. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works." Drop down to verse 23. "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples." Verse 31. "Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." One way that we can show that we are thankful to God is by telling others of His goodness. If you really know that God is good, tell the nations about that. Let the peoples of the world know that God is good. That should begin in our homes, in our families, in our, among our friends, co-workers, and on to the ends of the earth. In Psalm 34, which we also read, but we sang, we see a similar pattern. That one way for us to show thankfulness to God is to tell the nations that God is good, and to call them to experience that goodness with us. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." How can you say this if you are not willing to give thanks to God in the difficult circumstances? You cannot have praise continually in your mouth if you are only thanking God for the good things of life. Because actually most of the times life breaks. But God expects His people to be able to say with David, "I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad." And then look at verse 3. He says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together." And then verse 8. Well, let me just read up to verse 8. "I sought the Lord and He answered me." So this man knew that God answers prayer. And He delivered me from all my fears. "Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them." And then he says, "Oh, test and see that the Lord is good." That's a song that should be on our mouth day by day, especially in those difficult times when the world expects us to curse God and die. We can say, "Test and see that the Lord is good." And for us, this is not something that we just do because of our willpower. We can do this because of Jesus. Because He is the one who truly suffered, and yet throughout His whole life He gave thanks to the Lord. He was content to accept the sovereignty of God in His life. That even in the times when He was tempted to bail out of the will of God. He remained steadfast because he knew God is good and God was working out his good plan even through the difficult situations. I never cease to get amazed when I think of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew the cross was imminent. It was coming. He's pleading with the Lord, "Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me. And yet not what I will, but your will be done." And he went through with a plan all the way to the cross. For the joy that was set before him, Christ endured the cross. He despised the shame. And you know, when we look at Christ, then we find strength to carry on and to be able to say with him, "Not my will, Lord, but your will be done." We don't go out and solicit pain and suffering in our lives. But when it comes to us, we embrace it as an instrument of God in our lives to sanctify us, to glorify Himself, to show the world that He is good. And we can find strength to go on with hope in those times because of Jesus Christ. He went before us and He conquered even the worst of enemies. That's why Romans tells us, Romans 8, nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. I'm just going to read that and then that will be the end of our time tonight. Romans 8, as Paul is writing of the great love of God and His great purposes, he says in verse 37, let me read a few verses before that. "What shall we say then," verse 31, "to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's good. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. And so I can give thanks to God in the difficult times of life. And remember that He's working all things for His glory and for the good of His children. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for this reminder, O Lord. We need to hear this, for often life takes us by surprise. And we find ourselves in a corner, in a bind. But how thankful we are that we can always look up and know that our help is in you, O God. That you will see us through even those difficult moments of life. So we thank you tonight for every pain and trial that we have experienced. that your people have experienced, because we know that you mean to use all of them for your glory and for the good of your children. We thank you for Christ who suffered so much for us, so that we may truly know how good you are. Glorify yourself in our lives today, and cultivate in us, O God, that thankful spirit, for Jesus' sake. Amen.